This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The United States post offices are quickly being added to our nation's endangered species list. What was once an important stop on our transportation and communications network is now being replaced by email and threatened by budget cuts. The South has been hit especially hard, with more than 1,000 offices condemned since 2011. A new photography project documents the growing absence of post offices across the rural South in America. It's called Postscript. Rachel Boyo is a Durham-based photographer and creator of Postscript, and she joins us now. Rachel, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us about this project and what inspired it.
Well, you know, the initial thread of inquiry came because, you know, it seemed like a parallel to what I was facing in my own field of photography. Coming of age as an analog photographer in an increasingly digital world, I started thinking about what other methods and media are being threatened. And so I looked at the letter, and I realized photographs and letters are actually remarkably similar. They both sort of travel across time and distance to, you know, speak of another place. They're half-finished stories whose meaning must be determined by the recipient. And there's a lot of mystery in the delivery of these objects. So I was just very interested in the post office and letters and started to investigate this and realized that where the post office is threatened first is in rural communities. And, you know, the tragedy there is that's where it is perhaps most important, where it really defines the identity of place. And in many of these communities, when the post office closes, they lose their zip code, which quite literally is sort of the numerical identity of place.
Well, how many of the, and we talked about how many, and I think the numbers are growing and growing.
Exponentially.
But what's happening to the post offices? Why are they closing?
Oh, I mean, it's a pretty complicated issue. You know, it's not just that email's replacing the letter, although that is very much a real concern. There's also a lot of political backlog behind all this. In 2006, things got really bad with the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act passed under George Bush. And that basically requires the Postal Service to pay billions into a pre-fund that will essentially pension that will can only be accessed in 75 years. Meantime, it's just, you know, it's destroying their finances and just running the institution into the ground.
Imagine this concern in the Bush administration for the pension of its workers.
Uh-huh.
And yet in private industry, of course, no such concerns. So that when you're competing against UPS and FedEx and you force one agency to put all this money ahead for pensions and allow these others to compete with fairly ruthless, in some cases, employment practices, you're going to lose that bet, right?
Yeah. I mean, it really is, in one sense, a manufactured sabotage. Basically, to protect the Treasury should the post office falter, to make sure that, you know, there would be money left behind.
Yeah, yeah. So that's part of it. So talk about the identity again. What goes on in these post offices? Because for those of us who live in urban areas, the post office is just the last place the letter goes before it comes to my door. Not so in rural areas.
Absolutely. I mean, in many of the communities I visited, it is the only thing there. You know, it is what's left on Main Street. There may be a store. There may not be a store. Gas station, you know, a few towns over. It's where people gather. It's the social space. The postmaster or postmistress is looking out for everyone in the community. You know, if someone doesn't show up.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you go to the post. In many of these areas,
exactly.
You go get your mail.
Exactly. And that's what happens when a zip code is lost. It's a lot of these places don't have roadside delivery. They don't have rural routes. It's just everyone has their cluster of P.O. boxes in that office. And they go there and they often linger and see their neighbors and then go on their way. You know, visiting the post office is an important part of the day.
Yeah. So if somebody doesn't show up for 4 days, postmaster knows it, right? I
mean, exactly. And then they send someone because perhaps an accident has happened.
Let's talk about some of the photos in your project. Maybe I'll ask you to describe this one and tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so this photograph was taken in Goodman, Mississippi. Something I should mention about my work is that it's quite often influenced and inspired by the written word, particularly fiction. Eudora Welty is hands down the muse for this project. I adore her work. And, you know, she really helped me to understand a sense of place in the rural South. And of course, she wrote about the post office. You know, why I live at the PO is just one of the most fabulous narratives ever to unfold in a rural post office. So I actually corresponded with her friend and biographer, Suzanne Mars. And, you know, who knows what's true, what's not. But I wanted to find out if there was an actual location that was the basis for the short story, Why I Live at the PO. If there was a location that was the China Grove she wrote about. And Suzanne said, you know, she wasn't sure. It's been so many years. But she did remember the mention of a town, Goodman, Mississippi. So perhaps Goodman is the basis for China Grove, Mississippi, and the short story, Why I Live at the PO. So anyways, I researched Goodman, Mississippi, and it actually is one of the towns where the post office is closing. So this photograph here shows a locked door on a closed post office. There is still a functioning post office in Goodman. It's only open 2 hours a day. But that closed locked door for me really symbolized what's going on. And the fact that it's in Goodman, which perhaps was the source of inspiration for Eudora Welty, is very, very important to me.
And it is what in its current condition, a fairly shabby door with a fairly nasty looking chain threaded through both sides of the door. It's a nasty looking picture.
Thanks.
You did a good job. The subject looks pretty sad.
And I think numbers show up in a lot of the pictures because I was really trying to really use the constraint of the zip code and really show numbers to get at that concept of the numerical identity of place.
Another constraint that you confine yourself to is chemical. You are not digital. You process your.
That's right. I mean, I'm a hybrid process at this point. The color darkroom, and you know, I primarily work in color. The color darkroom is getting phased out very, very fast. I still shoot film, but I have to scan it and then print digitally. But yeah, I still use a 4x5 view camera. It's my favorite way of working. I will hang on to it as long as I can. Unfortunately, the negatives are getting more and more expensive, but it's a really important part of my process.
Why? How come?
Well, I can only make one picture at a time. Sometimes I show up and I have 12 negatives loaded in holders. It really makes me deliberate. It makes me really think about, if I have 12 images, what pictures would I make? What do I want to say about this space? And it slows me down in a way that I don't think is very typical in our contemporary society.
You can't just get lucky. Can't just keep your finger on the button and
oh, write. I don't know about that. I think it's all about getting lucky.
A little bit. But you do have to be more thoughtful. You can't just keep your finger on the button, shoot away because there's no cost to you, right?
And also, you know, I think it helps me sometimes to be bound to the tripod. I think often I look quite curious. You know, I'm using a, you know, I'm under a drop cloth. I've got this big camera. It helps, I think, break the ice with strangers. They're curious about me. What is this, you know, little blonde girl who's a stranger to them showing up with this camera that, to them, I think there's a sense of nostalgia. And I think it makes people more willing to interact with me. And it also sometimes, I think, can make portraiture a really wonderful ceremonial process in a way that allows people to feel more dignified.
And so dignity, I think, is a word that applies in this photo, though it's a man or maybe a woman sitting.
Yeah, that's actually a woman.
A woman sitting. It's a little hard to tell because but anyway.
She has very short hair.
Very short hair. And describe this one for us and tell us about it.
So that is the interior of a post office in Sherrard, Mississippi. And that is the postmistress, Ida. It's a beautiful old office just outside Clarksdale. The postmistress is holding a red hoe because that morning, actually, it was a pretty chaotic morning. I showed up and everyone was gathered out front trying to kill a snake. Ida is almost pathologically terrified of snakes. And you know, the funny thing was I actually felt really bad. It was just a little garter snake. But we had everyone around trying to kill this snake. The way I honestly, you know, because she's a tough woman. How I ultimately, I think, sort of earned her trust is I helped her to kill the snake. And I still feel kind of bad about that garter snake. But anyways, So after that, we hung out in the post office for a while, talked. The post office will probably close there soon. It's open 2 hours a day now. And it's very sad because it's a beautiful old building, the only public space left in that town.
You have talked to activists who are trying to save their post offices.
Oh, yeah. That's actually how I started the project. And how I found some of these activists is funny in that they're blogging about it. And it's, you know, the activist community is also so different than what you often think of. I mean, these are elderly community organizers. These are retired postmasters and postmistresses and, you know, people who have lived in the towns for decades and decades. These aren't, you know, 20-something picketers. But how I started the project is I went to Arkansas and was staying with some community organizers there. And that was a really important introduction to the landscape that I was going to continue exploring throughout this. You know, my favorite way of working, honestly, is just to show up unannounced, be a stranger.
Well, you know, we can take these kind of literary and perhaps intellectual flights about a kind of place, the meaning of place, Eudora Welty's literary view of and mm-hmm. reflection of space. What do people on the ground tell you about what it is they're losing if they lose this place?
Exactly. And it was important for me to hear those stories, particularly at the outset of the project, and to find out, you know, about histories that I couldn't see.
What are they telling you? What did you hear?
Oh, you know, it's generally the post office is the last thing left because it's been this trend of depopulation, you know, people moving north. Death of the cotton industry, mechanized farming is a huge one. And, you know, people just really feel like it's the last fight left.
That brings us to this photo. I mean, the idea that not only will this be an inconvenience and was it a place where we met, but it does put a fine point on what we have been losing slowly over these decades in this photo.
Exactly. And in that photograph, you know, I'm hard-pressed to say much simply because I have no idea.
It's a set of steps. It is a set of steps leading to nowhere.
There's
nothing at the edge of these steps.
Exactly.
With a couple of trees around.
That's pretty much all I could say, too. I mean, I saw it, and it, what better metaphor for what's happening? I mean, it had to be in the project because it was in one of the affected communities, and it just so visually summarize what was going on. And that's my task as a photographer is, you know, I hear all these stories, I know the politics, but how do I make this story visual? And a lot of the time that takes, you know, finding the right metaphors.
This is highly representational and I think very direct. This one is a little less clear. Describe this one for us and tell us about
it. That's a letter in a door. And many artists would not tell you this, but I will. I put that letter there. That is totally my hand in the making of it. And I personally, you know, I consider myself a documentary photographer, but I think those acts of fiction are always in the making and are important. And I'm, you know, I'm very comfortable intervening in a way that will add meaning and help the viewer to understand what I'm getting at. I mean, sometimes, you know, and Welty helped me figure this out, too. Sometimes making documentary work is rather akin to writing fiction.
Well, and no photographer does just hold up the camera. I mean, you may do this for effect, to hold up the camera and hold down the button. But in fact, you do frame a picture, and that's an act of intervention. And then you process the picture, and that's more intervention. This one is interesting because it's a bit of a – I mean, it looks like a Venetian blind. So you're really playing with light here, too. There's a lot of artistic effect here as well.
Well, that's my language. You know, photography, if you look at the etymology of the word, it really means drawing or painting with light. So that's my syntax. That's what I've got to work with, so I gotta use it. And, you know, with a large format camera on a tripod, I can keep the shutter open for a while. And long exposures, you never know what's going to come out at the other end. I mean, that's the mystery of it. And then you wait for the negative to come back. And the layers of light over the minutes that the shutter's open will completely transform what you see. I mean, the image is always going to be different than the reality you see in that moment with your own two eyes.
I have to get to this one because I have some personal experience with Little Free Library, having just planted one on our front lawn and seeing the kind of community that it engenders. It's basically like a big birdhouse that allows yep. for free books. People exchange books. They step in front of your house and take a book and leave a book. And what it does is, first of all, it's so darned weird that people talk about it and they stand in front of your house and talk to you and the young people and older folks who read the book. So it has created a sense of community. Why did you include this in your collection?
Well, so that is in town LaGrange, Tennessee. And that is a Little Free Library and also the community P.O. box, essentially. They don't have a post office anymore. And they have both books and mail in there. Basically, a volunteer has taken to going to town over and getting the mail for everyone else, bringing it back and putting it in that box. It's sort of how they're creating their own little postal service.
Wow. Is it secure? I mean, is this because this is a sense of trust that goes beyond?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. No, it's not secure
wow.
at all.
So
but I guess
everybody's mail is just in this place.
That's... Yeah. But I think it's a town where everyone... No, I know it's a town where everyone knows everyone. You know, we're talking less than 50 people.
So what do you take away from this project now that you've done it? You've talked to these people. You've created these photographs.
That's a big one. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the post office more than I ever did. You know, I never thought about the post office growing up. I just took it for what it is. You know, I assumed it would always be there. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous in our landscape. I mean, and once you start to think about it, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me really consider how our ways of communicating are changing. And it also introduced me to rural America.
It's great stuff. It's a great project. And I appreciate you being on here to talk about it, Rachel.
Thanks so much.
Rachel Boyo is a Durham-based photographer. Postscript is her latest project. You can find out more about it on the State of Things website. We have to say goodbye to Nicole Campbell. Nicole, our producer, who has done great work, who has stretched us, who has made us a better program, and we thought we had a long future with her. She found another job. She's leaving us. Nicole, we never close. You must come back, please, at least to visit. Goodbye to Nicole Campbell. We love you and appreciate you so much. Good luck. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.